Are you done with that?
Yes, I am done with that.
Hold on. Do we have one more minute?
Yeah, we're still waiting on.
Excellent. I'm going to go deliver this where it belongs.
Cool, okay.
Okay, it is recorded.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
For those of you that can't see the camera from here, we're waiting for the red light to come on, which the people that are standing up can't see.
You don't have to put on the red light.
That shows when we're live streaming for those people that join us from home.
That's where our friends are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see them.
Gives us time to get settled. Are we good to go? Ready to rock and roll?
Red light is on.
All right. So it is just after 6 o'clock. So without further ado, I will call this meeting of the Hillsborough Dearing School Board to order. Can you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the
flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. A moment of silence, please. And just as a reminder, tonight's meeting is live streamed, which can be accessed through hdsd.org or Town Hall Streams. And it's also audio streamed as well, which will be on the website. And we do have the presence of a quorum. So we will start off with recognitions.
Nice.
We do have some retirees this evening.
We do. We have three folks who are coming, and the school board has some gifts for you. So we're going to do this one at a time to give everybody their due recognition. And Mr. O'Rourke is going to very kindly take your picture with the school board chair as he shakes your hand. So if you want to go up forward with folks, I think that'll give the best shot. So we'd like to start with Marion Haig, who has had 25 years of service for the Hillsborough Dearing School District, invaluable service as a paraeducator and an office para in the special education department. So, 25 years. Thank you so much.
Hey, Marion!
It's so hard to believe.
Yeah, it is.
Holy cow.
Congratulations.
Don't you go on.
Yeah,
I'm just going to hand you some things. The next up, we would like to recognize Susan Bearer for 20 years of service as a paraeducator and then as a library media specialist here in the Hillsborough Dearing School District. So thank you. You don't trust my tax? He doesn't trust my tax. You see that?
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then our final retiree for this evening is David Grover, who has been with the district for 10 years in the maintenance department. And we'd like to
recognize
his services.
And he saved my rear end multiple times. So. I wish I knew how many times I asked him, hey, can you put up a shelf in the music room?
When you get the three retirees together?
I think that that's a lovely idea. Marion and Sue, can you join Dave for a picture, all three of you together? Thank you, Mr. Bones.
I'm going to see. It's about that, anyways. Thank you again, too.
All right, Dave.
Thank you again each for your years of service to the district. And are there any other recognitions this evening?
We do have other recognitions, but again, thank you so much. That's a combined 55 years of service to the school district, and we very much appreciate it. And thank you for taking a few minutes tonight to come and be here at the meeting.
Thank you.
So, and then next up, we have some student recognition. So I'm going to do these a little bit out of order from how we normally do this, because we have two students here who I want to especially highlight and explain why they are here, and they were able to come with their teacher this evening. So, Ms. Martin, could you come up with your students and introduce them to the school board, please? So, if you'll remember, Ms. Martin is our sixth grade science teacher at the middle school. So if you could use the mic and just double check on the bottom, make sure it's on. There's this tiny little toggle switch, but that picks it up for the recording.
Okay, so.
It'll take a second and then that'll come.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, so I have with me today Ava McDonough and Riley Beard. And they participated in a poster contest put on by the New Hampshire Pollution Control Association that they do every year. And Dr. Crawford sends the information out to us every year. And both of these students entered into the contest, and they both won. Ava McDonough won first place overall for grades 4 through 6 for all of the entries that were entered statewide. And Riley received honorable mention. What part of your award was?
Yes.
Part of my award was I won first place, so I got $100 gift card. My school got $100, and that money was put to the 8th grade DC trip for my grade, and yeah.
And who gave you your award in person?
I'm not sure.
Where did we go last Tuesday?
Who gave it to me? Well, I got to meet the governor. Governor Sununu.
This is Mr. Bossy. He's from the paper. That's why he's taking your picture. Just so
going up in the post office.
It was very exciting to see your photograph being recognized at the
fair. So you got to meet with the governor, and then there was there a special meal that they had for you guys as well?
Yeah.
Wow. So, and what Ms. Martin has in her hand, so we have a copy of the posters, and then there is a second poster underneath that is the calendar that they put together with all of those on. So we're going to be able to hang those up in the SAU office. And Mr. Peterson has copies of those that he's going to be able to hang up in the middle school.
Do you want me to pass these around? So
folks can see them. And do you mind coming and show? You can show each of the board members your individual, because you've got the originals there in your hand. But very cool. But we are very, very impressed with your work. Thank you. You can just come right up in the middle, and that way you can show everybody.
Do it, you. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Look at your art.
So then our bees, the first place winner for each of the age groups. It was grades 1, 2, 3, and then 4, 5, 6. So Ava's is here.
Awesome spelling.
And then the winners and the honorable mentions for that they chose are all on here. So you'll see both Ava's and
Mr. Bober, who's the school board chair.
And then the other posters that won first, second, and third are honorable mention.
Really awesome.
Very cool.
Really nice job. Congratulations. Thank you for
congratulations, ladies.
So, and over here we have Mr. Plater and Mr.
Kennedy.
Here's the originals.
Very, very
so
nice.
These are so cool.
Nice color,
too. So these are the winners for each age group.
In the lines,
so
which
1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6. And then the winners and honorable mentions are
well
all
done.
Featured on
thank
the
you.
Calendar.
Well done.
Yeah. So this one will get framed up and have as a permanent, and then this one we have as a calendar for the year. So.
Awesome. And we got a lot of extra posters, so they're hung up all over sixth grade right now.
Awesome.
As they
That's
should
so exciting
be.
Stuff.
Congratulations again, both of you. Well done. And thank you for representing us.
So cool.
Important topic as well.
Place.
Wow.
Honorable mention.
So those will be on display for
folks
to check out.
So as I am sure is of no surprise to anybody, those are Mr. Peterson's recognitions for this school board meeting. Thank you so much for coming. You are not obligated to stay for the rest of the meeting, but we really appreciate having you. Thank you for bringing them. We do appreciate that. Very excited to be able to share that with everybody. So other student recognitions that we have for this meeting, Mrs. Whitney, Lower Elementary School Principal, would like to recognize three students this evening. So the first is Aria Vaughn. Aria is a role model for her classmates. She is an extremely hard worker who enjoys the challenge of working above her grade level. She is also a great peer tutor and helper in the classroom. She is always happy and smiling. Ben St. Clair. Ben is a hardworking student. He enjoys reading. He is a strong mathematician. He works through problems slowly and thoughtfully. Ben likes to help his friends and is always kind and shows CARES. And if you remember, that's the acronym that we have. It's right over Paul's head that the elementary uses for cooperation, assertion, responsibility, empathy, and self-control. And then Angel Quinones Rivera is a hard worker who is always looking for ways to be helpful in the classroom. She goes out of her way to ensure that all students are included and is always respectful to others. She always waves and says hello when she passes adults in the hallway. That is true. So those are the elementary school recognitions. And then Mr. O'Rourke would like to recognize Ben Perrin, Noah Harrington, Madison, nope, sorry, Mason. Mr. O'Rourke, help me out on this because I
for
don't
Werda.
Say it.
For Werda.
Alexis Lidvina and Maya Brochu. And he received a letter from the president of the Henniker chapter of the Rotary Club. So, dear Principal O'Rourke, I just wanted to drop a note to you to commend you and the school for the five students who answered our call to help with our Rotary Road cleanup on May 6th. The students worked hard, filling 44 garbage bags, 10 more than we had previously collected, with energy and positive attitudes. I also want to commend the participation of staff member Jocelyn Perrin. We have never before had a staff sponsor join us. Jocelyn jumped right into the spirit of the day and set a positive tone for the students. The Henniker Area Rotary Club has been looking for ways to increase our relationship with our local high schools, and the students who joined us Saturday just encouraged us to further pursue this goal. I told the students that they were beyond awesome. They were Jagundas. Best wishes for a fabulous conclusion to your school year. Your kids are the best. Regards, Paul Kinnear, President. Mm. So those are our recognitions for this evening.
Thank you, and well done to all and to everyone else that is in service to our district, both students and staff. Do we have any correspondence this evening?
We do not have any correspondence this evening.
Okay, I know we have some we'll mention during board discussion. And then presentations.
Presentation. So I would like to have Ms. Robin Whitney come up, again, Lower Elementary School Principal, as you are aware, and she is going to tell you about a very, very exciting happening for the elementary school, and I'm going to stop talking so you can tell us all about it. And you do have a copy of the slides in front of you, so you can follow along. She's got it big there.
A few months back, we received notification that we could apply for what was called the Year of the Book grant from the CLIF Foundation, Children's Literacy Foundation. So we did the application, and we are really excited that we have received the grant. And what that means is we will receive approximately $25,000 for year one.
I want to brag about how hard you worked on this a little bit, because this took a lot of effort for Robin to put together to get accepted. And how many Year of the Book grants were awarded total?
There were only 10 grants awarded, and that was between Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont.
Yes.
So we are one of 10.
One of 10 in three states. So this is a big deal. And it's an amazing program. I'm going to let her tell you all about the cool things that they will do.
So we will get approximately $25,000 in services and or books. And what happens is these are the goals of the grant. It's to supplement what we're doing already for literacy, to encourage enthusiasm in books with our kids, just to get them to want to hold a book in their hand and read, to support any curriculum that's happening here, also to ensure that kids have books at home that they can read, really high quality books, and to get parents involved with children's literacy initiatives. So what happens now, this is the exciting part, $25,000 worth of literacy programs and books. A wide variety of literacy-related programs will take place during the school year. And what that means is we will be bringing in authors, illustrators, storytellers to meet with our kids. And just to get that enthusiasm about a book, how they sat down and where the ideas came from and how they wrote a book. What's really neat about this is the CLIP organization does everything for us. They've already provided me with a huge, many, many inches thick binder. And in that binder, there are lists and lists of authors, illustrators, and storytellers. We just need to call them and say, Cassie, I would like this particular person to come. And she'll say, okay, and she arranges it all. We don't have to do anything. The kids throughout the year will get a total of 10 books to take home. And they will start shipping probably in August to caseloads.
Kindergarten through grade two.
Through grade two, correct. They will start shipping caseloads of books to us, and then we can decide whenever we want to have our book giveaways. We can combine them with other activities or just say, today is book giveaway. And when we get low on books, I just call my new friend Cassie again and say, Cassie, I need more books. And she will ship us more books. So it's very exciting that, you know, the resources that will come our way. There are three programs that will happen that are standard. And one is our kickoff, and that will be sometime in the beginning of the year. Usually the mid-October is when they like to do these. They will send a storyteller out to us, and we'll have a storytelling workshop. Oh, and the kids will get a book also. And that's above and beyond the 10 books. This is just part of our launch. Also, the library here in the room that you're in will receive $1,000 in books, and the town library will receive $1,000 in children's books as well. Then the finale activity will be another storyteller will come and do another storytelling presentation. Oh, and the kids will get another book above and beyond those 10 books. So really, they're going home with a lot more than just 10 books. Then there's a menu of programs. So those were the three that will happen. And then we get to choose three other programs. And this is an example of the three that we choose. But if there's something else we'd like to do and it's not one of these that's listed, I just call my friend Cassie and say, Cassie, this is what we would like to do. And she said, it's rare that you're turned down if there's a special activity that you want to do that doesn't fit in what they've outlined here. So we could do writers' workshops where we'll bring in a writer and they'll spend 3 days working with up to 85 students. So we pick a grade and they would work with that whole grade level for 3 days on writing. We can do the same thing with an author and illustrator. We also could take $2,000 and split it up between the teachers and say, order some special books for your classroom, whatever you'd like. There's a curriculum that we could bring in. The woman's name is Natalie Kinsey Warnock, and she has developed a curriculum based on the Common Core standards about storytelling. She could come in and work with us. And a family literacy night, that one we're really excited about doing. And that's a 30-minute presentation by a storyteller and writer on how we can get kids interested in reading at home, not just here at school. What can families also do to read with their kids at night? So we will choose three of these or something of our own that we would like to do. The Children's Literacy Foundation, this is just a little bit about them. It is completely funded by donors. There is one donor who has made our grant possible. One person donated $25,000 to us. And the only thing that is asked of us is that we send a thank you card. And the thank you card, usually they said, is signed by lots of children and has pictures. So it's not a typical card, it's a poster, or a very large poster. And I said, we would be happy to do that. And I really feel that one is really not appropriate for everything that's going on. So we will thank our donor multiple times throughout the year. It's up to the donors whether they will let us know who they are. So we won't know that yet. But this program has brought these types of literacy opportunities to over 250,000 kids. And it's a pretty incredible program. Now, also at the end of our meeting that we had last week, she said, oh, and by the way, you get more money automatically next year. But we'll talk about that later. So I don't know what's coming for year two. We haven't gotten that yet. But this is a very exciting opportunity for our kids and our teachers. And we're thrilled to have been able to make this happen.
And the way that the grant works is that we receive goods and services, but we're not the fiscal agent for any of this money. That all comes through the Children's Literacy Foundation. So it's literally, Robin just gets presents.
Yes.
If you're looking for a local author, fill in. I wrote a children's book, Middle Ages Group. It's available on the internet, paperback and Kindle, English and Spanish.
Thank you.
I did not know that. I do have a question. Actually, you answered one of my questions, so I just have one more because I was going to ask how long we had to spend the money. So it sounds like we have that for year one and then
yes.
Discuss year two.
Something else will come year two.
Which is incredible. Yes. Thank you for the hard work you've done on this. The money that you can use to purchase books for the town library,
yeah.
Is it possible when you do that? I don't know how the logistics work and how you applied that we could split between the Hillsborough Library and the Deering Library because Deering now has a library that they're at the little schoolhouse, which
yeah.
is a one-room library at the bottom of the hill at the town hall that they're trying to open. It actually is open on Saturdays with volunteers.
I would be happy to call Cassie tomorrow and find out.
That would be fantastic.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you know that library would be happy because they're trying to build up their supply.
Sure.
And they're open on Saturdays now, I think from like 10 to 1, so they're hoping to have people in and out, so that'd be wonderful.
I'd be happy to call her.
And these activities sound fantastic, so thank you for the work that you put in to get the grant.
Thank you very much, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. So now that was our presentation. So moving into public comment, which is the time limited to 5 minutes per person, a time when a member of the community could share an idea or concern with the board, limited to 5 minutes per person, as I said. It's not the practice of the board to necessarily respond to comments made, but you could share a comment or concern or question that you might have. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak this evening? Going once, twice, three times. Yeah, and so if there is no one in this first round, then we will, Megan, if you can just note the minutes that we offered public comment just before what is it, 6:25, and no one accepted that, so we'll offer it again later in the meeting. And so moving on to the consent agenda, and in the consent agenda, we've got the minutes, appointments, leaves, and recognitions, and there was an updated appointments, leaves, and recognitions on our table that was handed to us, as well as policies
so
required.
Dated June 5th, and it has revised, highlighted in yellow. I gave each of the board members a copy
okay.
before the meeting.
Is there anything that we need to pull to review and discuss, or is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
I just want to point out how wonderful it is to see so many graduates coming back to teach in our school district.
Isn't that exciting?
Many of which,
yes.
They're so great. It's so exciting.
It's nice.
I move that we accept the consent
agenda. I try to
collect
them, Heidi.
I know. Bring them back home. That's what I'm looking at.
It's nice return service, correct?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. And any discussion on that or move to vote on the consent? So move to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? and no abstentions. So we are 4-0-0. I had to remember that. I had to count only to 4 tonight. And so, yeah, that's the consent agenda. So now we're moving right along to the superintendent's report.
Moving right along. All right. So, general update. I don't have Courtney here to give the fun stuff. So, but we do. The high school did have its elections, and starting in the for the August meeting, we have Greg LeBlanc will be the new representative, the student representative. And if he can, he will come to meet people on the 19th, but schedules are tight for everybody at this time of the year. But he will be joining us starting next year. We are in the middle of the end of the year celebration season, and it is senior week at the high school. They are on their trip today, coming back tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, hopefully, we'll have you are all invited. We'd love to have all of you attend. We have the Senior Scholarship and Awards Night evening that will be at the high school. On Wednesday, we're going to start the day off with the senior walk through campus, which is a tour for them to go back and be able to see all the places that they once were as students and be applauded by the folks that are waiting their turn to be graduates as things go through. So we're going to start that on Wednesday, and then Wednesday evening we are going to have the new tradition of the graduate parade. Starts at Osram, ends at the high school, and so folks are we'd love to have people along the parade route to cheer and wave as they come through. And you're going to be leaving Osram at 6 o'clock. Is that right, Mr. O'Rourke?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock on the dot and headed up to the high school. And then directly following the parade, there is an activity for graduating seniors only with the high school faculty and administration. So that is not a public event in the evening. And then on Thursday is the Spring Sports Awards at the high school gymnasium. We try to do at least one thing every day from this point.
Yep.
And then graduation will be, the tent is going to start going up tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
And the graduation will be under the tent. Hopefully there will be no precipitation happening. I understand Mr. O'Rourke has ordered there not to be rain for the event. We'll see how that goes.
We have a tent now. It's for me.
So audience seating begins at, again, 5:30. And the graduation ceremony will begin promptly at 6 o'clock. So, again, hope that you will all be there. I know Carol and Patty Kalander are working on coordinating folks' RSVPs, but you are definitely invited to that. And then transitioning into next week, Monday is the Washington School Board meeting. That's not business that you need to attend to. And then on Tuesday is the elementary school chorus and band concert, which starts at 6 o'clock. Washington Elementary is also having their night of celebration that night. We don't have enough nights we try really hard to spread them out so that we only have one thing per school, but sometimes we run into conflicts. So that is happening. And then the next big thing, Mr. Peterson, is the eighth grade night celebration, which is going to start promptly at 6 o'clock in the cafetorium at the middle school. And then that is followed by an eighth grade only event. So eighth graders only afterward, but there is the public ceremony in the beginning, and we do, again, and hope and encourage folks will join. And then the fifth grade, nope, I skipped the kindergartners. The kindergartners, I was doing so well, Robin. The kindergartners are on Wednesday, Tuesday.
Tuesday at 2:15.
Tuesday at 2:15, okay. Tuesday at 2:15 next week, not this Tuesday.
Correct.
A week from Tuesday. So the 13th. Sorry about that. Kindergarten celebration is at 2:15. And the fifth grade celebration is not, you are welcome to come and cheer on the roadway, but the they, they, they started this a few years back, and it's very popular with the students. So we're continuing the fifth grade drive-through ceremony.
It's awesome.
Where they ride through with their parents, and they get like their goodie bag and get cheered on by all the other kids, and it's up the access road. But they're going to go around and come down and then repark at the elementary school because they will be having a cookout in the courtyard this year. So that is the new addition to that. And that is all happening starting at 9:30 in the morning on Friday, June 16th.
Whew. Well done.
What did I forget?
Preschool.
What day is preschool?
Preschool is on Monday at 9:30.
Monday, June 12th. At 9:30 in the morning. There we go.
Well done.
Preschool celebration for the preschoolers
that are
moving.
Is there a grade that doesn't have something at this point?
There we go.
Cool.
Anyhow, so
fantastic.
The general update is that we are very busy. And we have much to celebrate, and we are working very hard on doing that. The seniors are obviously done on Friday of this week. The rest of the students have a full day of school. The 16th is a full-on day. That was part of how we made up our very, well, not so much snowy, very icy, very, very
stormy winter.
So full day of school for everybody else on the 16th, and then we will have professional development for staff on the 19th and 20th, and then there are some special work teams that are continuing on through the rest of the following week. And then we have end of year reporting, and so this is an incredibly busy time all the way around, even through all of the after the kids are done. There's a lot of pack up, clean up, and all of that, but we're hoping that the majority of that is wrapped up by June 23rd. That is the plan for that. It's kind of a general update. Does anybody have any questions? Did I miss an event that somebody wanted to hear about?
I was going to say, if you do have time to make it to the elementary school band and chorus, it is well worth it. You know, when my son was involved and even going back, it's nice to see how they begin. If you have time for
They've been working very hard with Mrs. Haley, who does a wonderful job.
And all the other events, too, but I figured I'd highlight them, too. It's like, it's always nice to go back.
All right. So, moving on, the next thing I have is I am requesting that when you get to action items that you vote to authorize me to hire over the summer between now and your next scheduled meeting as a board, which will be in August, the first Monday in August. So that's a typical authorization that happens each year. So if you could do that. And then I would like to ask Mr. Geisler to come up and do the May financial report. Which is in your packet.
Now every time I see Grandpa, I can think of his spatula.
Spatula.
Oh,
Add some humor to the business reports now.
So you all know what the report looks like. It's a landscape product. I'm just going to go over a few things, mostly just overall statements. So as of this report, we've spent nearly 81.4% of our funds. At this time last year, we were at 77.3%. We only have 2.5% of our funds left unencumbered. So that's like the bottom right hand corner you see there. It says 2.48 is what we've got left unencumbered. Last year that was 5.8. So we've spent down a lot more than we were last year. Our total unencumbered balance is about $800,000 less than last year, but we are still in good shape. We ended last year with a considerable fund balance. Transportation is still the only significant shortfall we anticipate, but there's more than enough surplus in salary and benefits to cover it. We anticipate ending the year with a surplus of about $800,000 is what I'm shooting at right now. I think we started about seven. I'm thinking we're going to be at around eight, which is much less than the past few years. 210 of that 800 will go toward transfers to trusts next year, based on the articles that were passed in March. So that gets us down just under 600 available. Some of the surplus is also due to higher than anticipated revenues, not just on the expense side. We still aren't recommending that we use any surplus for current year requirements, since a significant amount of the funds were returned last year, and so just to kind of manage tax rates, we're trying to give back as much as we can this year. There was only one new budget adjustment for this month, and it was just a real minor internal realignment within special education at the middle school, so that they could purchase some portable radios, so a little shift from equipment to supplies, that kind of thing. And then just for the line items themselves, on page one, nearly half of that page is salaries and benefits. We're running higher than last year, 77% or 79% spent versus 77 in total, and projecting a surplus of about 600,000 just in salaries and benefits. Health insurance is what's giving us a really nice cushion, some of that due to changes in coverage, some of that due to new hire savings. A couple lines below that, professional services, we think we'll probably end the year with a surplus of maybe 50,000. Some of that is nice to know that we're coming in under budget for legal fees. Mm-hmm. Mm. There's so many different positive slants on that one.
Yeah.
Transportation is a little further. I'm not going to get into that. I've been talking about transportation shortfall throughout the year. Not only will we have enough in salary and benefit savings to cover that, but we also had that extra revenue for special education aid and Medicaid that helps cover a lot of that too. Tuition is for outside placements and Concord Tech tuition. Outside placement budget was significantly lower than last year, but we're still in good shape, and we might actually even have a surplus in tuition of maybe 30,000. Travel, near the bottom of that page, is in the hole by about 20,000. One of the things we need to do is reimburse guardians for transportation for students classified as homeless, and so that's been a little bit of a challenge for us this year. Page two, electricity. We've encumbered the full amount, so it doesn't look like we're going to have any extra there, but I think we're going to end up with $50,000 or $60,000 of surplus due to us being locked in on that incredibly low electric rate until November of 2023. Books and software, most of that is software, and all of that's been spent. We do think we'll have a little bit of a surplus in this line for the book side of the equation. So I think that kind of covers everything as far as the report goes. Like I said, right now, if you were to put my feet to the fire, I'd say maybe a surplus of 800 minus that 210 that we know we have to put towards transfers to trusts. And that's all I have for you.
Okay. And I'm going to ask Grant to hang out because we're going to kind of tag team this next piece. In case you have but one of the things I handed out to everybody at the beginning of the meeting was this chart. So this is something that has not traditionally been presented in this format in the past, but it is Grant and I are intending to start kind of giving you an update three times a year. So in October, in March, the end of March, and in June, just about where we are with grant spending. So just a couple of things to explain about how this is set up and what you would normally see. So in each grant year, we typically have a round of grants that come under the title programs. So Title I, Title II, Title IV, and then what is sometimes Title V, Part B, and then on occasion they call it Title VI, mm-hmm. just for fun. So those are the title grants that we typically get each year from the federal government. We also typically get an IDEA grant each year. There are some other ones that are in here, so we're just going to explain that. But first, each year there is an allocation that happens through the federal grant programs for education, and those come and they are attached to the fiscal year in which the school year in which they come. But there is something called the Tidings Amendment, and the Tidings Amendment extends the performance period of the grant. So the grant will come, and it will be from July 1 to September 30th of the following year. But then the Tidings Amendment extends that another 12 months, so the performance period of most of the grants, except for the ones that we have, would have some exceptions to this. But Title II, Title IV, RLAS, IDEA typically have a 27-month performance period, which means that we have 27 months in which to allocate and or with which to budget and then obligate and spend down the money. So that's why you'll see things spread out. So typically, we have two grant years open at a time, the current school year and the previous school year. As with many, many, many things in everybody's lives, COVID changed that up a little bit. And during the COVID years, there were extensions that happened to the Tidings Amendment from on a federal level, and some of those performance periods extended further. And then we had the grants that were provided as part of the relief packages because of COVID relief, which we generally talk about as the ESSER grants. Sometimes you'll also hear somebody talk about the ESSA grants. The ESSA grants are the title grants. That's why I'm trying not to call them that, because I think it is hard on the ears to kind of keep them separate. So because of the ESSER grants had special performance periods that were voted on at the federal level, that's why we have in the 2021 year grant year at the bottom. So the ESSER II grant is open, and its performance period is going to end on September 30th of 2023, so this coming September. There are a couple other exceptions. So the Title I, the Tidings Amendment applies to the Title I grants, but differently than they do to all of the others. So just so as you see how things look in here, Title I funds are allocated and dispersed on July 1st, and they expire on September 30th of the following year. And instead of using the 27-month performance period for the grant, the way that they do with all of the other title grants, what they do is they end that grant on September 30th on the dot, and they sweep the other money into a reallocation that comes in the following year. And so next year you'll see like a fluctuation. It'll look like we have this much money, and then when we do the second update in March, more money will have arrived. And that's because there is a rollover of 15% that you were allowed in Title I only. You don't have to remember all of this. This is just to kind of like give people some background. Every 5 years, you are allowed to ask for a special waiver to roll over more than the 15%, which we did this last year because we had built up, because of COVID, that our Title I funds are used for summer programming that we couldn't do during the COVID years, and all, we had built up some extra. And so in the current year in Title I, you see more money than we would typically see. And the reason for that is because we rolled over more than the typical 15% that we roll into the next year. So things that are different in the I'm going to work my way from the bottom to the top. So starting with ESSER II in the 2021 grant year, this again, this closes on September 30th. It is showing right now we have the amount of money that is allocated. So that was the amount of money that we were originally given. And then it shows the amount of money that we have budgeted and then approved for each of these grants. We have a grant consultant or team of consultants at the New Hampshire Department of Education that we submit the activities. They check them to make sure that they align with what the purpose of each grant is, because each of these pools of money can only be spent on the narrow things that they are set aside for. And then they approve, so we have budgeted, approved, things are in good shape when those two numbers match. And then we have paid, and you can see that we have only And then the balance column here is the approved minus the paid.
Actually, I think it's the allocated.
Allocated, sorry. The allocated minus the paid, like the amount that's left over. Thank you. And so there's just under $80,000 in ESSER II, but that is because we are waiting for our final check.
Right. We did a final report for the last of our roof payments, and so that is closed out, but it's going to show up until we actually get reimbursed for it.
So you might see talk on the news or people not spending their ESSER funds or looking for an extension on their ESSER II funds, and I want you to know that we are all set, that has been fully expended, and the roof projects and the HVAC projects took up a considerable amount of that, as did some of the other pandemic supplies and responses that we needed. Am I missing anything that you wanted to put in ESSER II?
No, a lot of it was HVAC, but we did have some, you know, we had some professional development and stipend work and curriculum work that was also in there. But yes, for ESSER II, most of it was projects.
So then moving into the 21-22 grant year, so this is the last of the CSI funds that we had. So again, these are all, except for the one that you see with the asterisk there, ESSER III. All of these are closing September 30th of 2023. And so we have the CSI grant, which was the Comprehensive School Improvement Grant. So this is the last of the money. We came off of that status a year ago, but we had the last remaining. And this is mostly with professional development. We had professional development contracts with West Ed, and also a specialist in the area of reading instruction that we were using that for. Title V, also known as RLIS, which is one of the rural schools grants, is the most broad of all, or the broadest of all of the title grants. The rules in RLIS, it's supposed to be money to supplement the other title grants, is basically what it's for. But you are allowed to use it for anything that is allowable under any of the other title grant programs. It's money to help you round something out. It is the most flexible place. It also allows you to fund an activity for a school for a other title program under the rules of a title program that the school doesn't otherwise qualify for. So for instance, in Hillsborough-Deering, the only Title I eligible school is the elementary school. But we can use RLIS dollars in order to support middle or high school programming that would be allowable under the Title I programming. So there's some equipment purchases that can be made under there, et cetera. The other thing that you can do with the title grants is you can transfer money within the same grant year from one of these programs to another in order to get enough money together to complete a project. And we have been able to really leverage that with the RLIS by transferring other money into it. So Title II, Title IV, and RLIS are the ones that, and Title I can move back and forth. So I'm going to talk about the title grants in 21-22 here. We had professional development is the primary function of the Title IIA program, and we use that to fund lots of professional development programming, including the new teacher mentoring and induction program that we have, as well as some of the work that we're doing with West Ed to support folks in instruction and shoring up evaluation and all of those kind of components. But because there was money in Title II that we were, usually a lot of this happens with travel expenses or we're going to conferences and those types of things are happening. We had less of that. That happened, again, during the COVID time period. And so because of that, we had some money in Title II that we actually transferred over into the RLIS money. And we used our Title IV money, which is the most narrowly drawn and hardest to like fit an activity into the RLIS to round out and be able to, they're getting delivered in a couple of weeks, purchased the view screens to update all of the classrooms in the middle school, which is the last building that we needed to do that. Right. We used money in those programs in the 2021 school year to support the high school. So in the elementary school, we were able to use Title I funds and CSI funds in order to do that. So all of those upgrades that were made to those, and they have a 10-year lifespan on them, were all done through federal grants, and none of it needed to come from budget funds. The ARP IDEA and preschool and ARP homeless children and youth, those are, and ARP ESSER, so those are all things that were pandemic response. And so there was extra money that was provided for homeless children and youth, for preschool, and for special education due to the pandemic in order to help support, like services couldn't be delivered during the pandemic and all of those things. And then that brings us to ESSER 3, which does not close until September 30th of 2024. So we have over a year to finish with that, but we are, I'm gonna let Grant give a brief synopsis of this is where we're at with that, but this is the one that by law we were required to have 20% of this funding as a set aside to support students with learning loss due to the pandemic. Learning loss is a terrible name for what they're talking about, but that's how they wrote it into the rule. So. But it's direct student support. The environmental conditions and the staffing and other things that you would need in order to help students make gains.
Yep, and still though, the largest piece of this is HVAC at the elementary school, which was well over $1.5 million. The elementary school courtyard was another big chunk, and fortunately, we were able to get written confirmation that that did, in fact, count towards the 20% learning loss, getting kids outside for instruction. So that was very good.
And also to remind you that the board voted, and I don't remember who was on the board when this vote was taken. I apologize, but I know several of you were, at least. The board voted to not collect indirect costs on the ESSER grants, and because of that, basically the cost of the courtyard would have been the indirect costs, and so in addition to having it count for the 20%, it also we didn't collect any administrative costs on the ESSER funds because we wanted them all to go toward the purposes of the project, and so that was.
And you can see of the $3.146 million, $3.055 is budgeted and approved, and over $2.9 is spent already. So even though we've got well over a year, we've only got $213,000 left to spend. Of that, a chunk goes toward data team work that we're doing. Another chunk is still set aside for tutoring work, which we will continue. And then whatever is left, we're looking at trying to see if we can get approval for a pavilion to be installed near the middle school or a greenhouse to be built, location to be determined. So those are two projects that if we have money left over, we'll try to see if we can get them to approve use of that. We do know that at least for the pavilion, they won't accept that as going towards learning loss. But right now, the open question is, even though they won't allow it to go toward learning loss, will they allow us to still use the money just overall? And so we have a couple of questions out for that. But once again, $213,000 left right now is we're in incredibly good shape.
And we've talked about both of those activities before and how they align with the strategic plan. And trying to bring those in. So there is that. And then IDEA, again, that grant funding is specifically designed to support special education. There is a chunk of it that is peeled off and is specifically for preschool in a preschool grant, but then we also have some that is more accessible. This is one of the ways that we pay for the special education programming that our students need. And without it, we would not be able to come anywhere close to meeting our legal obligations to do that. So that's 21-22. Does anybody have any questions about any of that? Again, it's a lot of information, and our idea is that we want to be able to update you on this several times a year going forward so that we don't have to, but it should be things that you're hearing about how we use these funds.
Following under SR3, too, I do have a question. Were there additional outdoor classrooms that we were going to be constructing as well, or have those been done?
So we have the courtyard at the elementary school, and I believe that we would have to go back and double check whether it was CARES, which is SR1, SR2, or SR3. We purchased a number of the really sturdy picnic tables to have outside, the like all weather resistant, you know, can move around. And so there's an area on the other side of the third grade wing that gets used as outdoor learning space, and there's an area on the other side of the second grade wing, and between the arms at the middle school there's an area with picnic tables there, and then there's some picnic tables that are on right outside of where the cafeteria is, which is where we hope to put the cover over them to make that even more usable. And then there are sets of them up at the high school as well. So we have all of those different spots on campus. And that's something to be able to have places where people can go and do work outside. Well, we eat outside too, but that's kind of a secondary benefit of it, to be able to use outdoor space more frequently.
Cool, thank you.
And that list, is that on the website somewhere? The things that you were just
mentioning? The use plan is, Carol, I'm drawing a blank. There is a link that we have, this document that is not as tidy as this, that goes on, it's like a spreadsheet that goes on for 47 miles that we have posted on the website site, because it's part of the reporting requirements that goes into all of those details. I don't know, Paul, that I have a list anywhere on the website of outdoor learning spaces, but there's certainly pictures of them in various spots, including the courtyard. The courtyard we put like as the front picture. And once the second round of updates on the website is done, we'll have better pictures. Right now we're in that kind of, we're in a holding pattern with the website while the rest of the rollover happens, and then it will look different again.
Okay. And this is all for HD. Washington has
Has its own report. I'm not even going to bother you with that one.
Okay.
So they have the whole set. They have fewer grants than Hillsborough Deering, but then they have fewer buildings and fewer students. So moving into the 22-23 grant year, you'll see that there's a robotic education fund grant. That's going to close on June 30th, so that one's a little bit different. But we get that we've gotten it every year the last several years, and that goes to support our robotics program at the high school and the robotics team. And that's what that money is specifically earmarked for. And because we have a first student robotics team, that's why we get that, and this is where it comes through. We were recipients of two round two SAFE grants. Those are required to be obligated by June 30th. That obligation has been met. Nothing has been paid out on them yet, but that obligation has been met. And then other than the two that are asterisked, which are the Title I and the Project Aware grant, the other ones have a performance period that is going to go until September 30th of 2024. And so some of that money, it has been our practice in this district for a very long time to not obligate all of the funds in a grant in the first 12 months of the grant, to kind of see. That is a practice that the New Hampshire Department of Education wants districts to not continue with, which is feedback that they've gotten from US Ed. And so starting this coming year, they're asking that we have money budgeted by December of each year, but it can be amended all the way through the 27th month. So we will, basically they want us to say what we think we want to spend the money on by December of the first year, but we can make changes and amend the grants. And so this is all of these numbers, this is a snapshot, that's why we put specifically as of June 2nd. So as of last Friday, this is where all of these stand. We go in and make adjustments to these all of the time. One of the things that we are firm believers in is to try to spend us down to the dime of the allocated, well, to the penny. I'm a firm believer in that. Grant is a firm believer in it too, but it causes Grant extra work when I go in and rewrite a grant for $4.72 because I want my 72 cents.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard about this 93 cents under our preschool in 2122.
So it's like, really? Nobody could get a pen? Like, what is the problem here? So like, we want to make sure that we always expend our federal grant funds. The last couple of years, in all honesty, with the pandemic and the fact that we weren't able for several years to do as many of the types of activities that we were accustomed to. And again, the scope of what you're allowed to do is narrow for each of these programs. We have had to return some dollars. They're not massive dollars, but that is always our goal to not do that. I also want to remind everybody that all of these grants, with the exception of the ESSER grants, operate under a supplement, not supplant, directive. So we are not allowed to replace anything that you would fund with the general fund with these dollars. So the title grants are by law only allowed to supplement what the community has already budgeted. So we can't say we're going to pay for a third grade teacher out of one of the grants because we already have budgeted for the third grade and that's our obligation. But what we can do is say we're going to provide professional development for all of the third grade teachers to learn X, Y, and Z. So we have that. And then the other one that is a little bit different in 22-23 and operates a little bit differently is the Project Aware grant, which you have heard Stacy present on multiple times what Project Aware has been about. That one opens and closes July 1st to June 30th of each grant year, and then they open a new one the following year. They also play an interesting game where they come in at various points with, I'm looking at Stacy, it doesn't seem to be a whole lot of pattern to it, but sometimes there's a reallocation that comes at some point during the year where you get more money than they originally told you were going to have. This year's reallocation came 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But we still have to spend it by September 30th. So like looking at, but that is to support all of the very good work that we've been doing with Project Aware Funds, which is working on the advisory curriculums and the behavior interventionists. Some of that was started in there, and so lots of professional development and outreach to families and partnering with mental health, community supports, and lots of good things. One of the things that we try really hard not to do, other than in the IDEA grant and a little bit in Title I, is to hire staff members using grant funds. That is the recipe for unsustainable initiatives, that we need to make sure that we're not using grant funds in a way that when the grant funds go away, the program and the support for students goes away as well. So we try really hard to use them to train people how to do things, to build up capacity within the building, to get equipment and other resources in that we would need. And if we do put positions in grants, look for ways to walk them into the general fund on a in a way that is the least impact to the taxpayers. So an example of that would be we started out with there's one position at the high school for the behavior interventionist program that they have there that we call the zone that this the FY24 budget 50% of the that position we put in the FY24 budget knowing that we would put the remainder of it in the following year. That was originally funded from Project Aware and we're trying to walk it through. But that's our update on grants and how we're working with those federal dollars and working hard to make sure that all of that those funds are being used to support the goals that we have laid out in the strategic plan. Does anybody have any comments, questions? I guess one of the questions is, do you want to hear about the grants three times a year so that it's not all at once in one night?
We could kind of build up to it, too. I mean, I don't know if anyone else has any comments, but I think it's good to have a touching base, and then maybe at the end of the year, more of a summary.
Yep.
That sounds
highlight the big projects, tell you what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mike and Paul, did you have any questions? That's great. I mean, it definitely takes the ESSER funds definitely took a chunk out of the HVAC. We know there's still quite a bit more to do, but at least it's less money that has to be put into those.
Well, had we not had those ESSER funds, instead of looking at $8.5 million of maintenance projects that need to be completed to keep the buildings functioning, we would have $12 million in projects that need to be completed. So it was a wonderful side effect to a horrible situation that we were able to make some of those renovations, and we're, as we've talked about before, we are always looking for other grants and programs that are available. We applied for $6.3 million,
and that was a phase one that we didn't get, and
we
now
didn't
we're
get.
Hearing there might be a phase two.
But
so
we're coming back. We're coming back. One of the things that we've gotten lots of approvals to buy things with grant funds that we have grant consultants that go, well, geez, we've never thought about using these dollars that way, and they go into and we've worked really hard to be able to leverage those things. So, thanks, Grant.
Thank you for your work with doing that, managing those grant funds and looking for new opportunities.
So, and then the last thing I have is just to kind of segue you into your board discussion.
Yeah.
Laura Bono sent a letter to me to give to all of you from the Select Board. Requesting reimbursement for the school resource officer for the current fiscal year. Remember that this is not a budgeted expense in FY23. It is a budgeted expense in FY24. So, and with that, unless anybody has any questions for me, that's all I have for the superintendent's report this evening.
Any questions from Mike, Paul?
Do we have to vote on this tonight?
We're coming up on that.
Whether or not to reimburse the community for the,
yes.
I think we need to
from a business office standpoint, yes. So that helps Grant know. So again, going back to Grant's financial report, he's anticipating just under $600,000 of unexpended funds once the transfer to trust was done. So. Which is pretty tidy for the year. So that's yes. So if you are going to do this, we need to know tonight.
Any additional questions for the superintendent on the superintendent's report before moving on? All right. So I guess we move into board discussion, and the first item is the letter from the Hillsborough Board of Selectmen regarding the SRO. And as such, I mean, we did talk about it a bit in the fall,
mm-hmm.
And it was in the budget that the voters approved, the community approved.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think that...
For FY24, I just want to make sure everybody's clear. Like, it is now appearing again in the FY24 budget. This is asking for the funds for FY23.
Past, yeah. Thank you for the clarification.
I just don't want anybody to be confused.
So yeah, it's the amount that is, I think it's a good showing of faith to.
I agree.
Any other comments from anybody else or questions?
So they're asking for $83,750.60.
Right, 75% of the total amount.
Yeah,
I know there's a lot of numbers spread all over the page.
Math. To,
that's the bottom line. So $83,750.60.
Can somebody give me an example of some of the stipends that's on there?
Stipends for what related to?
Oh, that's what I'm wondering.
Oh, yeah, on the list of.
I see where you are. The $1,600 underneath health insurance and dental.
Is that for like?
Is that
games
like overtime
or evening events?
That is not something that I can answer because that the SRO is it's not our employee, so we don't do the budget breakdown for them.
I guess, 75% of the grant total, so we're not paying 100% for that. So that's what we do. That's what we do now. I mean, we could potentially follow up with that, but I mean, I don't know if that would impact our decision necessarily. But it is something we can always ask. But it's, again, it's their
We can certainly ask and find out for later.
Yeah, just curious.
Yeah, it's good.
I didn't know if that was some kind of overtime thing or.
Yeah.
Well, to ask. Yeah.
Maybe it's for cleaning uniforms, who knows?
I don't know, and I don't have enough information to speculate.
We won't guess or make assumptions. We'll ask and then we can bring that information. We'll bring that information back in part of the meeting.
It's not enough to make or break the decision, I don't think.
Exactly, yeah. Anything else, or are we ready to kind of move on?
Ready to move on.
Okay, and so that'll come up during action items further down. The next one, real brief, is just the New Hampshire School Board Association. It's kind of borderline correspondence with us as well as board discussion. It's only board discussion if someone wants to come up with a resolution that is due on July 28th. So if one of us does want to do that, we'd have to have that on the next agenda for the next meeting.
I resolve that we do not do that.
Okay, sorry, choice. I just figured I'd do good duty and service that we have that email in our inbox. So if anyone's interested, we'll just have to bring that and have discussion. And then at that, well, actually in September, when we review the resolutions, we can also appoint a delegate for the October 14th, 2023 delegate assembly. So we can, more than one can attend as well. So if there is thriving interest, it doesn't have to be just one person. We can have alternates and other.
Good attempt to sell that.
Way to go.
The legislative priorities.
I'll be attending on your behalf. It's done.
I made the attempt. So moving right along to the second public comment for this evening. Again, for an opportunity for anyone else. Speak on a different topic of 5 minutes or less. Is there anyone from the public opening this up at 7:12? Anyone from the public that would like to speak? Going once, twice, three times. Everyone wants to. There must be stuff going on tonight. Everyone wants to go home. So we will close public comment. Megan, can you just note that we offered that and no one was present and wanting, or no one was wanting to speak of the people who were present. And so moving into action items, we need a motion to authorize the superintendent to hire over the summer as we typically do.
So moved.
We will not have a board meeting between August. So motioned by Heidi, seconded by Paul. Any discussion or questions? And was that a question, Mike, or are you just getting ready? So move to vote.
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? 4-0-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, and keep up the great work with the hires. And so the letter from the Hillsborough Board of Selectmen, is there a motion to submit to reimburse?
I move that we reimburse the, what do we call it?
The
town of Hillsborough.
The town of Hillsborough for the school resource officer amount as provided in the letter.
Does yeah, that as presented. So
as presented.
There we go. 75% of the total salary.
Right.
All right. So motion by Heidi. Is there a second? Jacob. I will. Paul, would you like to second or did I don't mind second?
Yeah. I would second that, but I'd still like to know what the stipends
are. Okay. We can certainly, yeah, again, I don't think it's...
We'll just leave that on their side. We'll pay for the other side.
I think that's a takeaway that we can...
We will make sure that we have that information for you.
And we'll bring that. We should have that for the 19th, I would imagine. Any other questions, discussion, comments before we move to vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No abstentions?
Nay.
So four. Oh, okay. So you're voting nay. So... 3-1-0. It does pass. And
do we have a non-public?
Is there a non-public?
I'm delighted to inform you that I do not need a non-public session this evening.
Is it my birthday?
End of the year gift. and so, yeah, so that's it. Unless there's, I don't think there's anything else. Are we ready
make a motion
for a motion?
To adjourn?
All right, is there a second? Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mike, for the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
4. Yeah. So unanimous. 4-0-0. And we'll see everyone on the 19th. Thank you, everyone, for attending this evening.